now under the influence with DJ Johnny Bravo.
Hello, I'm Johnny Bravo. Welcome to Season 2 in the Band. Today, you're going under the musical influence of today's guest, Josh Sullivan, on Under the Influence with DJ Johnny Bravo. And Josh is from that band that just did our intro, did our mid, you'll hear a little bit later, and the outro, if you've been listening to the podcast. Welcome, Josh.
We heard that song plenty of times.
Yes, you definitely have heard that song, I'm sure. I'm glad that you guys got together to be able to put it together for the podcast. We do really appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We'll jump right in with question number one. So I want you to tell me a little bit about your musical self, what you currently do in music. We can also reference the name of your band and group and who does what, how many members you have and all that.
I play guitar and do all the production for the band Year of October. There's three of us in the band. It's me and my wife, Felicia, and our drummer, James. Me and Felicia play music full time. So we tour with the band a lot. And then I also do recording for other bands on the side a little bit here and there.
And you guys are located out of Nashville, Tennessee, or close to Nashville.
Yeah, we're in Old Hickory, Tennessee. We've been here about 10 years now, so it's been a lot of fun. We were in Donaldson in Nashville for a little bit, but we're like 15 minutes from downtown Nashville, so it's pretty nice.
And I was talking to Felicia about being a rock and roll band there in country town, you know, and Nashville, Tennessee is known for country music throughout the world, I'm sure. So she said there's a big scene there in Nashville or around Nashville. I guess you said on a different side of Tennessee, there's a big scene too.
Yeah, there's a little bit of everything in Nashville. There's a really great rock scene here. There's a lot of blues, you know, and a lot of soul music. There's a lot of hip hop as well. It's a very diverse scene. Definitely happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's something that we also talked about was from that documentary on country music by Ken Burns and how I live in Virginia. So how the music started, Virginia went to Tennessee and kind of hung out and dropped its hat in Tennessee, but still kind of has had a little bit in Virginia, some of the artists that were around here. So that's good.
Yeah, for sure.
How long have you guys been doing the band now? How many years have Year October been around?
I think this is year 12 right now. So about 12 years. We started in 2010. Yeah, we put out quite a bit of music, had a lot of lineup changes over the years. It's always cool to figure things out. And it's always been, me and Felicia have always been in it. It's kind of been our baby. So
that's good. And you play guitar. And she said at one point you played bass guitar and now you're playing the regular electric guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, so I played bass until about 2013 in the band. We had a falling out with a guitar player, and we had about 10 shows in about 2 months. At the time, I was like, we're not going to cancel shows. I'm just going to figure it out. And I played guitar, but I didn't really have much of a setup or anything, so I had to figure out more of a good live setup for the band. Yeah, I've been playing guitar ever since. It's always a good time.
Yeah, I was recently watching that show on Hulu, Pistol, and they were talking about the different change-ups in that band just over, you know, course of a few years. They were only together, you know, so you do kind of come in playing a certain instrument, and then they'll tell you, let's do something different. And in your instance, you had to do something different, and you picked it up, so that's good. Do you still do any bass, or you just mainly just do guitar?
I do bass on all the recordings. And I play bass live, fill in with some other bands, and, you know, play when I can. Bass is still my baby. I love playing bass. But it's definitely less now than I do. Year of October, we're playing every weekend.
So that's good.
It's good, but I don't get to play bass as much as I would like.
So guitar is more your forte now, but you prefer, if you could, do the bass.
Yeah, it'd be nice to do 50-50.
Do a half and half, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's talk about musical discoveries. When did you first discover music? How old were you? What were you doing?
I started playing in a marching band, and really back then it was just, you know, like the concert band in school. I started playing trumpet. And I was probably 9 years old. And I always liked music before then. My parents, you know, had a pretty good record collection. And so I was always getting into that. And like my dad's putting on the Kinks or, you know, the Beatles or Zeppelin, you know, something. Got into music pretty early. I'm glad I played trumpet because I learned a lot of my musical foundation And then I started playing bass when I was 13, and then I started playing guitar when I was like 15. So
I started in the band on trumpet, but I really wanted to play the sax, but my hands weren't big enough. And before that, I wanted to play the drum, but my family didn't have enough money to buy a drum at the time. So it was like I was stuck with trumpet. And I was never really happy. I'm glad you found happiness in the trumpet.
Right. I liked it. I actually wanted to play sax as well. And there was too many people in the band that wanted to play sax. They just, I think they drew names out of a hat to see who played sax or not. Because I didn't get drawn, so I played trumpet. And
yeah,
it was a good time. I definitely love the trumpet. I don't play it anymore. It's a cool instrument.
Yeah, it definitely is. I just sounded like sometimes like I was just killing, you know, cats or something when I would play. You know, I wasn't that great, but I've always, you know, had an affinity for music and found that calling in high school as well. So yeah, the band's always a good foundation to play, you know, at school and have that kind of camaraderie with the people that you're in there with, because, you know, you start playing a lot of the same tunes or you start wanting to jam or whatever, and it's just kind of a cool thing. But I'm sure they gave you a little bit more opportunity back in our day. Now they probably just real structured, you got to do this and this.
Yeah, I don't know how it is nowadays. I remember like it was nice because like I would, before we would play or if we had a concert or something, we would always pick up each other's instruments. I wouldn't pick up woodwinds or something because you don't want to get your mouth all over their reed and stuff, but I would mess around on the percussion or the stand-up bass, whatever anybody had around. I would always try to be like, hey man, can I play your instrument? So I feel like it got me involved in seeing a lot of different stuff at an early age.
I was just reading an article with Rush and Primus when they went on tour. They got together and backstage they would play different instruments they've never played, and they would record it. I guess that's they recorded cool. on tape. They don't know what they did with the recordings, but can you imagine Rush and Primus playing a bunch of instruments they don't know how to play?
I'm here for it.
It would probably sell.
It would definitely.
It would sell. We probably would all buy it.
I know Primus just did that Rush tour where they played all of Motion Pictures or whatever.
Yeah.
See that? Yeah. It's like I had friends go see it, so it was really good. I didn't get to go, but
yeah, I didn't get a chance to see. I don't think I've seen Rush or Primus play in concert, but I was reading that article and it just made me happy because I was like, these guys are going out. Like he said, they bought an accordion and they bought, you know, just weird instruments in their backstage that they've never tried to play, and they're playing them and recording. I mean, I could just be a fly on the wall with those recordings. That would just be awesome.
It'd be wild. Yeah, that'd be super cool.
It definitely would. Well, what's the first song that you remember, you know, either by an artist or a band or group?
You really got me, you know, by the Kinks, you know, like I remember like my parents playing that, and like specifically I remember like, and then I also remember that song and then them just dancing, everyone dancing around the living room and stuff. I was like a real little kid at that point. But then I remember like too, like when I was getting a little older, and this was in the 90s, like Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit. I remember I'd never heard anything really like it. It was kind of heavier and a little more angry and stuff, and I remember being like, this is popular, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, you heard that beat immediately from their first song, It Smells Like Teen Spirit, and you just knew, I just knew, as you know, working on the radio, like that was just going to be a hit, and they were just going to blow that out of the water. And they definitely did. That whole first album, I mean, all their music is great, but that first album, I mean, you can just play cover to cover.
I agree. Yeah, I fully agree on that.
And the Kinks, I mean, that's just an awesome, you know, band from back in the day too. They had, you know, plenty of hits. I'm sure that's probably like in everybody's collection. Were they playing records or were they playing tapes? What were they, eight tracks? What were they playing?
Mostly records. Yeah, my dad had a lot of really good records. Yeah, it was mostly records. And then as I got older, CDs. They had some good tapes too, but a lot of the tapes were like falling apart and stuff by that point. You know, they were like 15 years old. So
yeah.
I felt like I was messing them up because I'd put them in and it would, you know, fry the tape. And
it would
I'd
eat
get
it.
In trouble, but yeah.
Yeah, you had to get the pencil out.
Right. But yeah, a lot of great records though, for sure.
Oh, that's good. Are you going to be privy to any of that collection, or did your dad get rid of it all?
That's a sad story. So I didn't realize this, but or until after the fact, but I got home from college and I was getting into collecting myself.
Yeah.
And I knew my dad was like, he's just buying CDs by this point. And I was like, Mom, where's Dad's record collection? I want to take a look at it. Because he had like original Queen and all this. I mean, it was really nice stuff. She sold it all at a garage sale without telling me. So I got home and I think she might have had, I got his copy of Abbey Road.
Oh, okay.
I think that might be the only thing I salvaged because I was like, you didn't tell me. And I think she sold it for like nothing.
I'm
like
sure she did.
It was worth some money. And, you know, Dad, I don't think I don't know. I don't bring it up because I don't think he was too thrilled about it, the results of it. But I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, wives have a way of cleaning stuff out without our knowledge. And they're like, let's get rid of all this junk. This is a bunch of junk sitting around. It's like, wait a minute. That's not a junk. That's, yeah, that's good stuff there.
Yeah. Oh, it's very sad. I get sad thinking about that collection. Because
all of those, I'm sure, were probably originals. And he probably took pretty good care of them. Most of the guys back in the day did. I was able to restart my vinyl collection because of my uncle, and I got a bunch of Beatles from him. And one of the ones that I really like, I think it's Meet the Beatles or whatever, and on the bottom, I don't know if he wrote it, it might be my aunt's, I really think it's my aunt's, but they wrote all of the, you know, boys' birthdays and who sang what song and everything, like, on the actual record. And so that's always a special one that I like to see. It's, you know, something that is a keepsake from, you know, when you were little.
Cool.
Yeah. It is pretty cool. Funny. Yeah, but I'm sorry to see that happen. I know my dad's grandmother sold all his comic books. He would always, because I used to collect those back in the day too. And he's like, oh, I had a bunch of those. They put them out with the newspapers every week.
That would kill me too. I love comics too, so that would kill me.
Yeah, definitely happens.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, let's take a break. We'll be right back. So hang on, okay. We are back. I'm Johnny Bravo. You're going under the musical influence of today's guest, Josh Sullivan, on Under the Influence with DJ Johnny Bravo. So let's talk about that long distance dedication, that first couple song. And if you want to talk about your wife, you can. If you want to talk about another couple, when you were a couple, you can do that as well. And you'll just have to get in trouble later and that kind of thing.
I'm going to have to go with one with me and Felicia. I'm going to go with D'Angelo, Untitled.
Okay.
You know, like off of Voodoo. That song is awesome. And we actually, it's funny, we have a tradition now of requesting it at other people's weddings because people have a hard time dancing to it because it's got that little herky jerky, like 6/8 time. So we like to dance. We know how to dance to it, but we like to see other people try. And it's a lot of fun. So I'm going to dedicate that. And it's also like a pretty, you know, sexy song. So
yeah, D'Angelo, you know, he's from Virginia. And I met his cousin. I had a guy that was trying to do rap, and he wanted to try to be a rapper. And so we met with D'Angelo's cousin, and I think he had like a band or like a couple of guys that did some rap on his label or something like that. But his brother wrote the song for one of the movies. I think it was like a movie that Jada Pinkett was in, like Set It Off. I think it was Set It Off.
That's cool.
Yeah, they wrote that. Cool. So D'Angelo, Richmond, Virginia. That's where, you know, that's where I'm from, you know.
I didn't know that's where you're. We love D'Angelo. That album, Black Messiah, is amazing.
Yeah, he's very good. He's got that soulful sound. That would be fun to play that at a wedding and get people's reactions. It's not something that you would normally, you know, even hear people request, you know.
People either love it at the wedding because they know it and they're like, oh, it's, or they are just like, what is that?
What are you doing?
Yeah, and then they try to dance to it. It's got a little herky jerky to it. So,
yeah, that's not like a slow one that you would normally play at a wedding, which is fine. Definitely. I mean, it's your dedication, you know.
It's more of a game to me than
just to kind of be a fly on. That's fun. It's like I'm going to see if I can get a something in the middle of a song and just see how people react to it. That'll be, or just play that one and see what people do. That would be fun. What about your first concert? Do you remember your first concert, or you can talk about the first concert you remember?
The first concert I went to. There was a big Christian music festival that I went to with my youth group when I was like 13. It's called Ichthus. The band that specifically sticks out to me, because I was 13 years old, so I was playing music, and I'd already started, me and my friends were playing together and starting to write, but we didn't really play out yet. But I remember going to see the band Norma Jean, which is like, you know, metalcore, screaming, you know. It was an interesting show. It was a crazy show. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, are shows like, you know, it's like normal? And it definitely wasn't anything, you know, it was wild. But they smashed all their instruments and the singer's like hanging off the rafters. And it was in the middle of this big Christian festival. Well, that's the only concert I remember from the first time I went to that festival was that specific show. So that's like the first one.
Oh man. A lot of people don't realize that there are Christian bands that do like the heavy metal kind of speed metal kind of stuff. There was a band that opened up when we went to go see Casting Crowns one time at Carowinds, and I don't know who it was. I can't remember. They're, you know, popular Christian band, but they were like doing that kind of music. And my mom was with us, and she's like, "I thought we were seeing a Christian band today." And I'm like, "We are. There's these guys are Christian too. I mean, they just have a different flavor."
Amazing. These guys were wild. Like the whole crowd was like a big circle pit, and I was in the back, so I wasn't in that. But my youth minister took like me and was like, he's like, "All right, guys, we're gonna go see this band." And you know, he didn't set up any. And then when they were warming up, they didn't hit their pedals at all, so they were literally all clean, and they're all playing all these jazz licks and stuff. So they were deking out the crowd a little bit. The bass player comes up to the mic, and he's like, "Oh, it's you know, Tom's birthday over here," or whoever. Everybody wishing him happy birthday. He's like, "All right, let's go." And the singer sprints to the front of the stage. Drummer like hits like, you know, you know, and they just go right into a blast beat. And I was like, "What is happening?" Like, it was like the first show I'd seen.
Oh man, yeah,
so that was pretty wild.
That's a pretty great time. I remember being a band, the local band, I think Fighting Gravity. In Richmond was playing at a local club, Blood Zone, I believe. I did the mosh pit and went on one side. And it's like a hurricane, or you know, it throws you out. Not on the same side. You're like on a different side of the auditorium. So it is pretty fun if you can get in there and do it.
Yeah, totally.
They're probably a lot nicer if you go see the Christian bands than they are if you see like War or something like that, you know.
Hopefully.
I would hope so. I mean, you know,
I would hope so too.
We're doing this all in the love of Christ, you know.
Right, exactly.
Love your brother. Don't throw him too hard. What was your first music purchase? Was it vinyl, tape, CD, or stream? And where did you get it?
It was tape. Bought a cassette of Smash Mouth, the album that had All Star.
Yeah.
So like, I bought that album with my own. That was the first time I bought something with my own money. Yeah, I think I still have the cassette somewhere around here. I don't know if it still plays, but I wore it out when I was, you know, I had my little Walkman or whatever.
That's a great song, All Star. That's you know, song that still gets a lot of airplay.
Yeah,
it does. Various places.
It drives me nuts now, but you know, I think I played it too much when I was a kid.
Yeah, they recently got rid of the lead singer. They got like a new lead singer.
I didn't know that.
I think during COVID, he didn't want to get the shot or something. So I think they got rid of him. I believe that's what I read. It might be something else. So now they have a new lead singer. He was always a pretty funky guy, and they had some really cool songs, and they had a bunch of anthems. Like, was that one the one from that movie, or was it there was another like a teenage movie? I think they might have had a hit from Smash Mouth.
I know they had the song Walking on the Sun.
It could have been that. It was a movie. I can't think of the movie, but I just remember
they covered that monkey song too in Shrek, didn't they?
Yeah, they did that too. So I mean, they I know they did a couple movies. I think it had the girl from Party of Five in it.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of what the name of that. I can see the CD cover plain as day, but I can't think of what the name of the movie is.
They had a lot of hits though. There's a lot of big ones on there.
Yeah, Smash Mouth. They were great.
Yeah.
And I could see where you could wear that one out. And on the radio, we would always have to play songs over and over again. And it would just eat you up alive, because it was like, man, I really like this song. I don't want to play it like four times a day.
It probably didn't help that it was my only tape for a minute there.
Yeah, well, you know, you bought it with your own money. And when you do that, sometimes it's like, man, this is mine. I bought this. It's like an accomplishment. And you're going to get your value out of it. Some people don't understand that. But you were like, I'm going to play this till it dies.
Pretty much. I made my parents pop it in the car on a whole vacation. We listened to it on a whole trip to Florida or something.
Oh, man.
I think they probably hate it more than I do.
Yeah, my mom, you know, would always like, there was a song by Salt and Pepper, you know, the Push It song. And when we were listening to that when we were growing up, she always thought they said a bad word. She's like, are they saying bullshit? I'm like, no, mom. They're not. They're saying, they wouldn't let them say that on the radio. They're saying push it.
Yeah, that's too funny.
Yeah, she's like, I know they're saying bullshit. I know you're lying to me. I'm like, they're saying push it. I'm telling you.
That song just got featured in that commercial too. Yeah, I forgot that. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, my wife's been singing some song from a commercial. I can't think of what it is, but she's been singing that song for a good while. I can't think of who it's by, but it's on like a commercial for, you know, Kroger or something.
Oh, it's Apple Bottom Jeans. Is that the one?
I think I, like, Yeah.
Apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur.
Yeah, she's...
Because they have them go, they get low, low.
Yeah, get low, low. Yeah, that one too. Yeah. That's another one that's on the commercial that they play
I always think of Tropic Thunder, Tom Cruise, whenever I hear that song, because he's got the big hands and he's doing Les Grossman or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was pretty funny in that. I'm surprised they let him play that role. That was just uncanny for...
It's wild, yeah.
For Tom to be playing something like that. Sure. He always wants to look pretty, you know.
Totally.
Well, let's take another break. We'll be right back on Under the Influence.
You are still under the influence with DJ Johnny Bravo.
We are back. I'm Johnny Bravo. You're going under the musical influence of today's guest, Josh Sullivan, on Under the Influence with DJ Johnny Bravo. It's your favorite song, if you can narrow it down.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm going to have to go with Sitting on the Dock of the Bay by Otis Redding. It's a song I can listen to 1,000 times and doesn't get old, and it's a beautiful song. Otis Redding's one of my favorite artists. It's been my favorite song for a long time. There's something I can't put into words about that song.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real, you know, can be a downer song, but it can also be a picker-upper, you know, too, where you're playing that and you're just like, man, I'm in a bad mood, and you put that song and it makes you happy, or it could make you even more sappy. I mean, you know, because it is kind of a happy, sad song.
I mean, I really like a lot of sad music, but I like music that can be different, make you feel different ways at different times, for sure. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, that definitely is one where you could put it on and you could be just like, man, this song makes me so happy. And then other times it's like, gosh, I'm just so sad. You put that song on, it makes you even, you know, or maybe you were happy and it made you sad. That's a great song.
Right. Yeah, I love that one.
And I'm sure that's a lot of people's favorites. That song has been around for a good long time. I know a lot of people probably had that on 45 and probably still have that on 45 playing it around.
Yeah, totally.
So your favorite band, can we narrow that down?
My favorite band is probably Led Zeppelin. Love Led Zeppelin since I was basically in middle school. Like, I remember my dad actually got, because he had all the albums, but, you know, he didn't want me playing them all the time. So he went out and got me a bunch of their CDs. And I remember popping those on and just being like, every song was awesome. And it would, you know, I was learning, you know, to play bass at the time. And so I was learning all those John Paul Jones bass lines. And yeah, Led Zeppelin is a very special place for me.
Well, that's a very good teacher to have in John Paul Jones. Charlottesville has an arena named after him. They have some pretty good shows that come through there. But yeah, learning from the master and Led Zeppelin, you know, they hardly had a bad album until they decided they were going to break up, and then they just put a bunch of junk out, and it's like, wait a minute. But even the junk was still pretty good. I mean, you know, most people were considered just this isn't like a great album, this is just B-sides or whatever. I mean, even that kind of stuff was still good.
Still interesting, and all their records are awesome, and there's a reason their stuff still gets played, and people are, you know, it's iconic, but at the same time, like, they got the music and the chops to back it up.
Have you seen the video of when they get, it's not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's something they do, like maybe the Kennedy Honors or something like that. I think it was the Kennedy Honors, and Hart, they're a big player of Zeppelin, and they came out and they played Zeppelin, and Zeppelin was in the stands with their jaws to the floor, you know, because...
Did they do Black Dog? Is that what they did?
I can't remember, but whatever they did, they ripped it. They had a choir. It might have been Stairway to Heaven. I think they had a choir. Okay. They might have done a few that night, but the one I actually saw, I think it was Stairway. They had a choir in the background, so it was like you thought they were done, and then this choir kicks in, and it was just like, but Ann and Nancy Wilson from Heart, they're big, you know, Zeppelin fans.
I've heard them. I don't know if I've heard that one, if it was Stairway, but I've heard them do Black Dog before.
Yeah, they do it. They do at least one.
A pretty ripping version of it. It's awesome.
Yeah, they do it in their at least one of their songs in the concert. They always play something from Zeppelin. And then I saw, what is it, John Bonham's son, you know, perform Zeppelin songs too. And that was pretty cool. I really wish you would have had the guys up there playing with him, kind of like doing a Wolfgang, you know, with Van Halen kind of thing. That would have been awesome, but that didn't happen.
I think he just played in Nashville like maybe a month ago. We were on the road, so I didn't get to go. But I had some friends go, and they thought it was really, really cool show. Jason Bonham, right?
I think that's, yeah, that's definitely was. But if you ever get a chance to check him out, he's really good, you know, live. And it gives you that nostalgia feel, but it's almost like you really just want them up there playing, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, I understand that for sure.
You want them up there doing it. You're like, come on, man. You ready for the big finale?
Sure.
All right, here we go. How has music impacted your life?
So yeah, music is something like since I was 13 years old and I started playing bass, it's what I've always wanted to do. And I knew I wanted to play music for a living basically since, yeah, late middle school, early high school. Since 2018, me and Felicia have been able to, just music's all we do. And so it's, I mean, music has become my life. There's nothing I love more than playing music and writing music and finding new music. There's a lot of stuff I can say about it. Yeah, there's nothing better, honestly. Getting to do what we do has been truly, honestly, it's a dream come true.
It really must be a good feeling to be up there on stage and doing what you know, your passion is and what you've always wanted to do. And being in a band that kind of can beat up with you, be there with you.
Yeah, it does. And sometimes, like, there's been some moments where I've had to kind of almost, like, pinch myself just because, like, being in a band is really challenging and writing new music's challenging. It has a lot of its ups and downs. So sometimes when you get those payoffs, like playing a show, the perfect example, after the lockdown in 2021, we played like our first Nashville show back. They had a limited amount of people there, but it was sold out, and it sold out pretty quickly. So I remember on stage, like we were playing like the gnarliest riff I think we probably have of the night, and I'm like up there crying, and luckily I had long hair, so it was covering my face. But like, you know, it was a very touching moment, and it was kind of one of those moments where I couldn't believe I was still able to do what I want to do. And yeah, I don't know. I don't have anything else to say about it.
Yeah, well, COVID had a real big impact on not just the big music scene, but the local music scene, the people that, you know, are just going and playing at we have a lot of beer places around here, you know, and so it's like a big thing in Rich, which is like everywhere, you know, and people go and play and they'll get a keyboard or they'll get their guitar out and play. And, you know, it stopped a lot of that. And so for people that are in bands like you or in major bands going out and stuff, you know, trying to support their roadies and different things like that, music is really a healer and it brings people together. And I could see where that time back for you was a special moment because it's just like, you didn't know if you were going to get it back,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. No, totally. That's exactly it. And actually, Felicia might have mentioned it in her interview, but we were out your way when lockdown happened in 2020. We played in Charlottesville the night before, and we're actually heading to Charlotte, North Carolina. We woke up day after the show, and you kind of see all the news. And we had like 20 emails, and it was all cancellations, just straight down the board. And we lost about, I think, we had 150 shows get canceled, you know, because we had the whole year booked. Oh, and that was, you know, in March. So, yeah, so it was crazy. And it's been definitely like a challenge, but it's also been good in some ways for us. It's not, you know, necessarily that it's always good, but we've learned how to adapt and make it work. And things have been opening up a lot more. And, you know, we're hitting the road this next weekend for about 5 days. So it's good to be getting back to normal.
Yeah, I saw that you guys have some shows coming up, and I'll definitely keep me in mind when you guys come back through, you know, Richmond or Charlottesville. I definitely like to come check you guys out. And I know you guys have three albums out. You're getting ready to you're working on I think Felicia said the fourth one's done. So you guys are getting ready to put that out. So that's awesome too.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. We have some more surprises coming up later this year for, I won't say specific, but some surprises. I'll just say that.
Well, that's good.
And then the new album's done. And then we're always writing and working on new stuff too. So it's definitely exciting for sure.
Well, you guys have a very distinct, unique sound. And I don't know when I first started following you guys on Instagram, but I just kind of came across you guys. I don't know if you guys followed me first and then I followed you. Because I'm a DJ, a lot of people like think I have an influence on something, you know, which I'm trying to have an influence with the show. But, you know, I see bands and stuff like that. But when I started listening to y'all's music and looking at you guys, and I just think you guys have something special. And I know that your heart is into it. And I know that, you know, your mind, body, and soul are into it as well. And it really, you know, you can feel that, and you can see that through the music. You guys are doing an awesome job, and I'm glad that you and other bands survived, right, you know, all that COVID stuff, and you're back and doing it live, because we want to see it and hear it, you know, buy the t-shirt.
Heck yeah. Well, I appreciate you saying that, man. That really means a lot. Yeah, we can't wait to meet you in person. We're definitely going to get that way here before too long. So
we'll, yeah, definitely. Tell everybody, I know, because you're streaming everywhere and you're doing stuff everywhere, but you do have merch and that kind of thing. Throw these guys a couple dollars and tell them where to go to get all your goodies.
Yeah, check out our stuff. We're on Bandcamp, yearofoctober.bandcamp.com. You can also go to our website, yearofoctober.com. It has links to all of our stores and also our streaming stuff. So yeah, check us out, and definitely appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much for being here and going under the influence of today's guest. We were with Josh Sullivan on Under the Influence with DJ Johnny Bravo. Go under the influence on Instagram at DJJONNIBravo_underinfluence, or contact us by email, DJJONNIBRAVO.theunderinfluence@yahoo.com. Check out my other podcast with my son, Hero Chat Show. Please subscribe to Under the Influence with DJ Johnny Bravo, where you listen to your podcasts. I'm Johnny Bravo. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.
No longer under the influence with DJ Johnny Bravo. Until next week.